the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
To hour number four of Sports Talk. We look forward to being joined by Eric Kane for a Tennessee football practice report. Comments from Tennessee football coach Jeremy Pruitt. As Jimmy, today it was the quarterback club. It was a virtual appearance by Coach Pruitt, but how was the first meeting of the quarterback club?
Well, it was odd. It was a little bit different, and typically the speaker goes like 12:30 to 1. This time Coach Pruitt came on around 12:10 maybe. And went till about 12:35 or so, and they were able to advance the questions through the president of the club, Jeff Haygood. I thought it went well. I thought Jeremy Pruitt did a nice job with it. You could hear what he said, and under the circumstances, it's a challenging deal. But I thought at Calhoun's, they had it set up well. It's actually the upper level they shut it down to where there's like three big rooms. It's one room. That used to be three rooms. And mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of room up there to space out. But I thought it went very well for the first edition of it. And they got a really nice speaker list that is set up, which we put on our website. And Mark Rick's going to be coming in. They got Brock Hewitt and some others. So we got a really good list of speakers coming in. But I thought it, under the circumstances, John, I thought it went well.
Well, we look forward to sharing some of those comments from Coach Pruitt. And again, practice report with Eric Kane. But right now, it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. And, Jimmy, I think we have another awesome prize to give away this week.
Yes, we do. We've got a $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. Proper Popcorn is not just a popcorn shop. It's an experience. They got over 50 handcrafted popcorn flavors to choose from, which could be a spicy buffalo flavor, maybe a delicious dill pickle popcorn. And don't forget to get an old-timey soda with your refreshing popcorn snack. It's good for a family outing, a date night, getting a gift for a loved one. Located 9700 Kingston Pike, Suite 13 in Knoxville. You can also check them out online, properpopcorn.com. All right, we've got an NFL question. Of course, the NFL got started with Thursday night, played over into Sunday. We got two games tonight, but it's an NFL question. We've talked an awful lot about Joe Burrow, how hard it is for quarterbacks to win their debut, how hard it is for the number one overall pick in the draft to win the debut. And in fact, you got to go back to a long way to find the last quarterback who was the number one overall pick in the draft that won his debut. I want you to name that player. It is within the last 25 years. Name the last quarterback taken number one overall in the draft to win his debut as a starter.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Mel. Hello, Mel.
I'm going to guess Brett Favre.
It's not Brett Favre.
Okay.
All right. We sure do appreciate it. Have a great night. Repeat the question, if you would.
All right. Name the last number one overall pick in the draft that was a quarterback who won his debut. Joe Burrow took a shot at it, came close. In fact, if not for a short missed field goal, they might have got into overtime and he'd had a chance. But it's been, and in fact, the record of the last 13 is 0-12-1. But we're looking for the last quarterback that was number one overall draft pick in the NFL who won his opening start.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. It's David who's up next. Hello, David.
Hey there.
Hi.
How y'all doing?
Doing well, and you?
Good. So David is my name, and David is the name of the last person who won, David Carr.
Yes, sir. That's it. You wouldn't have known that if your name wasn't David, would you?
No, I think I saw that earlier either on ESPN or something like that.
Yeah.
2002?
2002. That's correct. That's the last quarterback taken number one overall in the draft that won his first start. That's been a long time. I probably shouldn't mention this. I should know this. I think Kyler Murray tied his first start. I'm thinking he might have been in the 0-12-1. He might have been the one. But David Carr is the correct answer. So David, very good. You've won a $25 gift card to Proper Popcorn. Certainly hope you enjoy that, and we appreciate you participating in our Sports Fix.
Thank you.
All right. Well, way to go. Hang on the line so we can get your prize information, and that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. And, boy, you have to go back quite a ways. And it just, again, normally if a team is in position to take the top pick in the draft and make it a quarterback, Jimmy, normally that's not a very good team.
That's exactly right. And that's probably one reason they're 0-12-1. And I don't know all of what the Texans had at that time in 2002. I know David Carr was a highly thought of quarterback. And I think what happened to him was he got thrown to the wolves and he got beat up. And I think he might have been a better quarterback had he not had to get hit as much and take as many sacks as he did. I think at times you can almost destroy the confidence, not just the confidence of the quarterback, but physically. I just think he took a beating. So, but yeah, it's tough to do. And but Burrow gave it a good shot, and I think Burrow's going to do really well with the Bengals. I think he'll have a pretty good rookie year. There'll be some ups and downs, of course, along the way. But it's tough to do when you're a rookie quarterback. This league is so good, so talented defensively, and some of these defenses are really complex as well. Just ask, heck, even if you're a veteran. I mean, look at what the Patriots did with Ryan Fitzpatrick yesterday, and the Patriots had a number of really good players sitting out. But that's just how tough it can be on quarterbacks in this league.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. When we return, a Tennessee football practice report. Eric Kane joins us next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. It's that time when we head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline for a Tennessee football practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we get to say hello to Eric Kane. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. Doing well here on a Monday. Tennessee football jumped up in the latest national polls to number 15 in the Associated Press, number 17 in the coaches' polls. That's the highest Tennessee's been ranked in the polls since the 2016 season. You look at the AP poll, half of Tennessee's opponents here this season are ranked in the top 10. You've got Alabama in second, Georgia at fourth, number five, Florida, Auburn's at eighth, Texas A&M checks in at number 10. Of course, Tennessee's at 15th, and Kentucky is down there at number 23. So, again, Tennessee jumping up in the polls. This was the first polls that reflected only teams playing football this fall, as the prior two polls reflected all football teams in Division I. Vol calls return to the airwaves here on Wednesday. That'll be right here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. At 8 o'clock, Jeremy Pruitt and other Tennessee coaches will meet with host Brent Hubbs along with Bob Kessling and catch up with callers from around the state. It's a statewide call-in show, so Vol calls return to the airwaves this Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Jeremy Pruitt actually is going to make his first appearance on the show next Wednesday. A couple of changes, of course, if Zach Calhoun's on the river on the outside seating like always, but a couple of changes this year. There'll be no autographs and no photos with the hosts and the coaches due to COVID-19 social distancing guidelines. So Vol calls will be back on the airwaves at 8 o'clock on Wednesday. And a sad note here, the University of Tennessee announced that VFL Bill Johnson passed away Sunday at the age of 84 at his home in Sparta, Tennessee. Bill Johnson was a former All-American offensive lineman here at Tennessee, later returned and served on the athletics board as well. So, again, Tennessee up in the polls. That's a good thing. Jeremy Pruitt's going to – we know for a fact that he's going to start hosting his weekly press conference every Monday at noon. That will start next week for game week. But we will look forward to catching up with some players tomorrow via Zoom at 1:30.
Brandon Johnson met with the media last week, and just tell us what he said the team's mindset is.
And the team, he said that the team has the right mindset right now. He said that he's very confident that the team's going to be ready to go out there when the first game arrives. It kind of goes back to the team morale of Brent Smaglia, Brandon Johnson, Ty Chandler. We're all asked about the team morale and, you know, how is the outside factors affecting the team with so many players being out and kind of this unique camp that they're in right now. And he said it's all good. We're coming in here to work every single day. We're trying to get better. But they're going to start preparing for South Carolina pretty soon, and they have that right mindset to go out there and take care of business. So he said he's really excited. Again, he says that he feels a lot more confident this year now than in years past, and that's not easy to see why when you have Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings no longer in the program, and Brandon Johnson is a guy that Tennessee's going to have to depend on, and I feel like he knows that. He's ready to step up and be that leader for Tennessee both on the field and in the locker room.
Ty Chandler, Tennessee running back, said that being pushed by Eric Gray's made him a better running back. He also said that he's trying to become a better leader, didn't he?
He did. And, again, this is kind of growing up in the program. He's always been a soft-spoken guy. He played early on as a freshman all the way back in 2017. He's kind of held that role consistently, but he's never had to be a vocal leader. But that's just kind of how all student-athletes are. You come in, you take a back seat early on, but as soon as you continue to rise up as juniors and seniors, you kind of take on more of that role. And, you know, Ty Chandler sees that, you know, in the offense right now, his voice carries a lot of weight. And so he's really been, working on it, said that it's grown on me, the ability to speak up and try to help everybody. Says that it's something he's comfortable with and that he takes on the challenge to make sure that people are doing the right things, not only on the football field, but off the football field, especially now in the season of COVID and contact tracing. It's more important than ever to be doing the right thing, to be saying the right things, and to be where you're supposed to be, not out at bars or not out in large gatherings of people just to try to shield yourself from someone who maybe have a positive test. So I think Ty Chandler stepping up is just one of many guys that are trying to take on that role of being a positive influence and being a vocal leader this year during an unusual 2020 season, but one that's going to depend on discipline and a lot of those leaders that kind of keep the team in check.
I thought it was interesting from what Pruitt said at the quarterback club. He said that on Saturday he was pumped up because only 34 players were out. He said that's the least amount that's been out in about 2 weeks. That surprised me. I knew they'd had a bunch out, 44 on the previous Saturday, 57 on a Monday. But my gosh, for almost 2 weeks having that many out, I've got to think that's had a negative impact on your ability to have productive practices.
It really has, and let's be honest here, 30 players out is still a pretty high number, but all things considering, as Jeremy Pruitt said, he was pumped up. I mean, that's a great sign because it's really hard to get on a decent practice when you're few that short bodies, because though everybody at practice isn't going to be, you know, heavily relied on to play a lot of snaps this year, depth is going to be a key issue because you're going to have to rely on these guys. They're testing 3 times a week now. If you have a positive test, you're in quarantine for 10 days. If you're in quarantine due to contact tracing, you're going to be in there for 14 days. And so depth, you can have guys that have a positive test Friday, maybe Saturday before a game, and be unavailable that day. So I think depth, more so than any year than we can remember, is going to play a vital role in this. But, again, yeah, I saw that comment, and, you know, Jeremy Pruitt said 30 players was the most that he was missing on Saturday, and that's way down. We heard, Jimmy, you reported that last week on Monday 57 players were out. Mm-hmm. At one point in time it was 44, and so that's a good sign. It looks like things are going in the right direction, but again, it's a day-by-day thing, and it's going to be up to the players to try to be mindful and to be smart about, again, where they are at all times and trying to, you know, socially distance, wear that mask, and everything that involves that.
Any other news or notes?
That's about it. I'll go over the schedule just real quick. What we know so far for week number 5. Well, wrapping up week 4, Tennessee did scrimmage inside Neyland Stadium Saturday night. The team had today off, but are going to return to the practice field tomorrow, and we'll have player availabilities. We'll have a couple of players that we'll know more on tomorrow who they are, but they're going to meet with us via Zoom at 1:30. So we look forward to that. And, of course, we'll have our college football roundtable tomorrow night right here on B Sports Animal. As soon as you guys get off the air at 7, We're going to take the reins from 7 to 9, talk everything Tennessee football, preview the season, all the opponents, the SEC, college football all together, and what is a unique, unique season that's already gotten underway for the ACC, the Big 12, and some other college football teams across the country. But the SEC is going to get going on the 26th, so we're excited to break all that down. Again, that'll be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here on the Sports Animal. Today's Tennessee football practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. You can beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage today at 947-7527.
Eric, you have a thought on how tonight's game, the last game of this first week of the NFL schedule, will go? Titans-Broncos?
Well, I mean, I wish it was a little earlier. Kickoff is it? What is it, 10:15 Eastern, and that's going to be a late one. I'm going to try my best to stay up for the majority of it, but I'm excited. I think it's going to be a sloppy game. There were a lot of sloppy games yesterday, a lot of snooze fest, and that's kind of expected with the way how there was no preseason, there was no games, and there was no joint practices. So I expect it to be a little sloppy, especially for Tennessee. You got a Dory Jackson who just landed on the IR. You know, Vic Beasley's not going to be made available. Of course, Isaiah Wilson, the first-round draft pick, is not available for this week. He's on the COVID-19 list and obviously had some issues off the field this past weekend. But Tennessee's missing some starters, but I do think that the from a talent perspective on that roster, I think that it's going to be okay to grind it out, give the ball to Derrick Henry, and see what happens. So I'm excited. I'm expecting a Tennessee win, but it's not going to be easy, kind of sloppy, maybe 24-17 final score, somewhere in that nature.
So you like the Titans?
I do like the Titans, yes.
Be interesting to see exactly how it'll be for Jarrell Casey going up against his former teammates, not only on the offensive line, but also trying to upset that running attack that, of course, is so good with Derrick Henry. But, Eric, always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Hopefully you can catch a couple of winks before it's time for your show in the morning. But have a great night. Good show tomorrow, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon.
All right, thanks, guys. Tighten up.
No. And that is Eric Kane with a Tennessee football practice report, Jimmy.
Bronco up. All right. Yes. Let's hear from Jeremy Pruitt. We mentioned he was at the quarterback club. Here are his opening comments.
It truly has been circumstances unlike anybody has ever seen before. For instance, we practiced on Saturday night, and I was pumped up because we only had 34 players that didn't participate in practice. That's the least amount that we've had out probably in 2 weeks. So it's really kind of hindered the development of our football team, especially the younger players. You know, if anybody's ever been to our practice, you've seen that we always have two practices going at one time. So there's 44 players taking reps at one time. You work two groups on each field. That's 88 guys that are getting a lot of reps. They get the same amount of reps every day, which is what we believe in, that helps in player development, where you continue to grow and mature as a player, and you learn how to play. Having all of these guys out has really hindered that part of it, unfortunately, you know. So, you know, for instance, there's guys, like you take a guy like Harrison Bailey that normally would have taken the same amount of reps every day as a quarterback. We'd had four quarterbacks that would have taken the same amount of reps. Well, he missed the first four practices, and he couldn't help it. Just was in the contact tracing, and, you know, so we've had 14 practices now. He's got to participate in 10. He misses the first four. And then by the time he gets into the practice mode, we don't have enough players to do two spots. So you're sitting there with three or four quarterbacks trying to get the reps that's really set aside for two guys. And that's just an example of how, to me, that when you talk about the development of your team, that has really, really hindered us to begin with. So we're probably – we're still 2 weeks out from the game. We're going to have to take kind of our fall camp mode mindset into a couple of weeks into the season. You know, we'll start prep on South Carolina on Thursday, but we need to – not only do we need to be working on them, but we need to continue to grow our football team, because the lack of opportunities that have been created over the last few weeks, and And hey, we knew that playing a season like this, there's going to be circumstances like this. So we're learning every day how to improve and how to be the best that we possibly can be. And I'm excited about the team that we have. We have a really good culture. I feel like we have the most talent that we've had since I've been here, with an opportunity to have depth and create some competition. Hopefully we'll be able to get all these guys out on the field again soon. But I don't know if you all know, but we test three times a week for COVID. And, you know, if somebody tests positive for COVID, they go into a 10-day quarantine. And they have a four-day kind of reacclimation period. This is after they get all the testing done with Doc and you know, and really it's they if they're able, they can practice a little bit on the 15th day when they were originally diagnosed. We've had some guys that's had it and they've had no issues, and we've had some that maybe it's taken them a little longer than that. And then with that, you go into the contact tracing. These kids are out 14 days from the time that they were in contact. So, and even though we test them all the way through, but just for example, we've got a couple of kids that were out 14 days. They come back for one day. Now they're out 14 more. So you miss 28 days of preparation. It's hard to be prepared to play in a football game. I'm sure that's not only just at Tennessee. That's probably all over the place right now. But I just know what's going on here. So we've got our hands full. Our kids have a challenge. We really have to do a nice job in meetings. We have to do a nice job in walkthroughs. And we have to have a lot of people to be ready to play, because you never know, you know, who's going to be in or out before you get on the bus to leave on Fridays. You know, you have another test, and a guy that might have been preparing to play the whole week, you might find out on Friday he's out. So you got to get the next guy ready to play. So depth will absolutely be a critical part of this season.
Those are comments from Tennessee head football coach Jeremy Pruitt at the Knoxville Quarterback Club earlier today.
That's Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We've got more coming your way as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is VFL Josh Malone, and we're counting it down. It is just
12 days until
it's football time in Tennessee.
This Sports Radio WNML countdown to kickoff is brought to you by Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Find out more at tvacreditunion.com.
Go Hawks!
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Himes.
And let's hear more now from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt, his appearance at the quarterback club. Here are comments when he starts out talking about how his team needs to protect football.
I think the statistics show that if you do not turn a football, if you do not turn the football over in a college football game, I believe you have 83% chance of winning that game. If you turn the football over one time, your percentages go down to like 51%. And that's not talking about what the defense does. That's just the offense. The other way, if you look at it on the defensive side, if you get the ball, obviously your chances create. So we've really been preaching the ball on both sides of the ball. It's one of the first things that I'm concerned about when you have skill players that have missed numbers of practice and they hadn't had a chance to get bumped and banged around, because we didn't have spring ball, remember? So it's been, you know, a while for some of these guys all the way back in December for bow prep. If they've missed some practice time, they've not, you know, carried the ball in a scrimmage-like setting. So that's obviously got to be a priority on both sides of the ball. And obviously in special teams. The next thing is just mental errors. You know, General Nealon got it right when he said the team that makes the fewest mistakes will win. I think this season will be exactly that. The first thing is don't beat yourself. Make the other team beat you. And that's something. It doesn't matter if if we're playing with our first quarterback or fourth quarterback or first nose guard or fourth nose guard, we can't beat ourselves. So as coaches, we have to do a very nice job in our teaching progression, understand what our players are capable of, and let's put them in a position that they understand where they can have success so they can play fast. Same thing on special teams. And special teams is probably been the toughest thing for us, you know, because lots of times you bring the best players in from a high school team. Well, maybe they were the punt returner. Maybe they were the kickoff returner. They didn't go up there and block on the front line on kickoff return. They didn't go down and cover on a kickoff cover team. You know, they didn't play on the punt team. So teaching these guys how to play special teams with them being in and out has really been challenging for Jay and our entire staff. And it's something that I believe is where we have created a little bit of an edge for us in the past. We've got to find a way to be able to do that on special teams this season. So getting some of these guys back and training the fundamentals and getting prepared for the upcoming season in the next 10 days is going to be critical. Same thing with our specialists. You know, there was a time the first five practices, we didn't have a specialist that was out on the field because of contact tracing. So getting these guys handling the balls, it also affects your kick and punt returner. So there's been lots of things that are obviously new for a coaching staff and things that we've had to be able to adjust and maneuver as we go. That's why, you know, some days or some weeks it may say we're going to practice on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, but then we end up practicing on Tuesday, Friday, or move the practices around because we've had to adjust every day based off who's going to be at practice and who's not. But I'm excited about our coaching staff, the direction of our program, you know, the players that are in our program. We've got a lot of really, really good kids that are good leaders, good students, that try to do things the right way. And I'm excited about the opportunity when we get them all back in there together. So, I would love to answer any questions. I'm, y'all are probably like me, you know, for, I guess, 3 or 4 months there, it seemed like I had more conversations with my wife than we'd had in the previous 7 years. So,
interesting from Jeremy Pruitt. Also, he was asked, what can the SEC do to help with contact tracing?
Listen, the first thing we all want to do, we're trying to protect our student athletes. That's first and foremost, okay? Nobody's trying to take any risk or anything like that. And I'm no expert in contact tracing. I just know that within each state, the counties kind of control that, I guess. And I think each state's obviously different in how they do it. So I don't think that there's any way that we'll ever get all 14 schools the same in the SEC for this season. I think everybody probably knew that going in, but everybody's just going to try to do the best that they can. But it obviously has, it seems like it has affected us maybe more so than some of the other ones, just reading about it, you know, looking at it, which I don't know. I don't know that they can do anything about the contact tracing.
And also from Coach Pruitt, he was asked, when is the next time you're going to attempt an onside kick?
Well, I would like to play in games where we don't have to onside kick. That would be so. But, you know, there's lots of things in specialty situations in all three phases that we try to find ways to create it. An edge for us. You know, that was something that we had practiced the entire year, and it ended up where we needed it, you know, the last game of the season. So, you know, it's, and I'm at the same time, you're also working and trying to look at yourself to make sure somebody can't do that to you. So, but that was a big part of that game.
And those are comments from Jeremy Pruitt at the Quarterback Club earlier today. A couple of the things he mentioned was that he thought it was a positive that the NCAA has given an extra year of eligibility to everybody. He did not address how challenging that might be to manage your roster going forward if you have a whole lot of people that want to return and this season not count. So, but he did say that he thought it was good. And he touched on just the mental health of the young people, that this is kind of a settling thing for them, and that with all of what's going on in the world, that you don't want to have any extra pressure or duress for these student athletes. So he touched on that as well. And just a couple of things mentioning about how he was asked about some of the freshmen that looked positive. He said that an offensive lineman, James Robinson, had lost from 360 pounds on June the 8th to now weighing 321, and that R.J. Perry was on the defensive line, and after four practices said he wanted to move to the offensive line because that was the best place for him for his future down the road. Obviously, that means the NFL. So Perry noticing that in 4 days is pretty interesting. But those are some of the other comments that came from Coach Pruitt as he met with the quarterback club earlier today. Those meetings each Monday, they are virtual meetings, and that's just the way that's set up for the season. But I think that that folks enjoyed hearing from Coach Pruitt, and hopefully they'll enjoy from hearing from speakers in the future.
I'm sure they will. And what we'll do is we'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. And Jimmy Hyams, again, what's coming up tonight at 7?
We got golf talk. We look forward to being joined by Hayden Echols to talk about some junior golf. We got the U.S. Open preview. We've got the odds on who's favored to win it. And Braxton Hunter and I will make our predictions on who will win the U.S. Open.
All right. We'll look forward to that. But we have up first a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1, The Sports Animal.
If you smell something, that's probably us. We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. And, Jimmy, I just continue to be impressed by all the good that individuals like Peyton Manning do when they have the wherewithal and the opportunity to lend a helping hand. We know that as things got going early on in the battle against COVID, that that he and his wife, and so many did this in their local communities, just went out and either provided meals for, say, first responders or even some an entire shift of workers at a children's hospital. But it was really something to see where this story came about. Chris Mortensen of ESPN.com wrote about it yesterday, and he starts his story here by talking about how Doug Williams endured some incredibly painful blindside hits while he was an NFL quarterback, but he also said he was quick to embrace a recent one. What he did was he got a call, he was notified by his alma mater, Grambling State University, that a certain foundation had endowed a scholarship in his name at his alma mater. Well, when Williams asked who did this, he was told the donor wished to remain anonymous. Well, as he would be, and as many others in his situation would be, he says, I have my connections at Grambling. So he made a couple of phone calls, finds out that it was Peyton Manning's foundation that was endowing not only a scholarship at Grambling, but a total of a half dozen scholarships at historically black colleges and universities. Peyton, of course, is from Louisiana, so there are four universities and colleges that will have new scholarships endowed in there, in that state, four in the state of Louisiana and two in the state of Tennessee, obviously, where he played for the University of Tennessee. Not only is he recognizing and celebrating Doug Williams at Grambling, but he is also doing the same for Harold Carmichael, former Philadelphia Eagles receiver and 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee.
he is having an identical endowment at Southern University in Baton Rouge. Mm-hmm. Wilma Rudolph, who was a sprinter, the first woman to ever win three gold medals in the Olympics in 1960, she has had her name attached to an endowed scholarship at Tennessee State, her alma mater. Rudolph, unfortunately, passed away from cancer back in 1994. Now, the other three endowments from the Payback Foundation, their namesakes are not athletically renowned, but no strangers to historical contributions. Fisk University in Nashville, that's going to be endowed for the late Dr. Revis L. Mitchell Jr., who was a 40-year history professor who was frequently consulted on African-American heritage and often cited in publications and documentaries. There's also Xavier University of Louisiana in New Orleans. Dr. Norman Francis was the school's president since 1968, who received a Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2006 for his efforts in planning the recovery and rebuilding of New Orleans and surrounding areas after Hurricane Katrina. And the last will be at Dillard University in New Orleans for Dr. Michael Lomax, president and CEO of the United Negro College Fund since 2004, as well as a former university president. When he was contacted, Peyton Manning declined to speak about his personal involvement, but he did send this message to Chris Mortensen, and that is simply, the Payback Foundation is honored to partner with these six colleges to honor distinguished alumni and staff members and to help college students at these schools now and many years to come, really for perpetuity. So just amazing work, and again, it's the Payback Foundation that does this, but there are so many that take time to give back when they have that opportunity, that just thought that was something really cool to share.
Yeah, it is. I did not know all the details of that. So that is interesting to see that, and that his foundation would reach out like that. So good to
Yeah, and Harold Carmichael said that that he played in a Pro Bowl with Archie. And so he was, of course, playing at the time that Archie was playing in the NFL, but He said it's really an honor to have his name on that scholarship. He says, I know it's not necessarily an athletic scholarship, but when I played at Southern, all I got was $14 a month for laundry, and there were times when even that money missed payments. So when he says there's now an endowed scholarship with his name attached, he says he feels incredibly humbled and blessed. And Harold Carmichael was one of my early favorites. I just loved how he stood literally head and shoulders around most of those that were either on his team or on the opponent.
Oh, he's 6'8".
Yeah.
He's a big dude. Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. John, as far as the NFL over the weekend, I guess if I were to look at my top five performers, I just thought Aaron Rodgers was brilliant. I thought Russell Wilson played terrific. I got to give a thumbs up to Kyler Murray for beating San Francisco. And that San Francisco is a defending Super Bowl team, defending NFC champion. I thought Gardner Minshew, 19 of 20, was pretty spectacular. And Lamar Jackson, I thought those were five of the best performances. Was there somebody else that you thought deserved mention from over the weekend?
Well, you hit on some good ones, but just for Cam Newton to for all that he's gone through, not knowing exactly if he was still in the plans, if Carolina was going to hang on to him. And then when COVID hit, it was, well, it's not like he can go and have a physical and things like that. So for him to land in New England and to rush for 75 yards and two touchdowns in their win against Miami, you know, the Patriots lost to the Dolphins last time they played. So Newton now has 60 career rushing touchdowns, which is the most by a quarterback in NFL history. And he has seven games in his career with at least two, which ties him with the likes of Otto Graham and Steve Young, along with Jack Kemp and Steve McNair. So that'd be a pretty interesting five-some to wind up behind on the golf course.
He only had one more rushing touchdown than Tom Brady yesterday.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, as far as some of them that I just wasn't impressed with, Brady was one of them. I didn't think he played that well. Carson Wentz, I thought he really struggled. He had 88 yards in the second half as Philadelphia blew a 17-point lead against Washington. Baker Mayfield didn't do anything. The Browns can't win an opener. I think they've been on like 14 years of that winning one. And then, boy, this one was a tough one, but DeAndre Swift dropping a touchdown pass that probably would have won the game for Detroit.
Yeah.
That's a tough pill to swallow.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yeah. I'll say another one, Josh Allen for Buffalo, 312 yards passing, two touchdowns, also had a rushing touchdown. I think he's really rounding into a pretty good quarterback the more experience he gets. I don't think he's trash, as Jalen Ramsey said. But
not at all. I think he's really good. And yeah. I still think Buffalo's going to win that division. New England might surprise me, but I'm still leaning toward Buffalo.
That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. Jimmy, have a great show.
John, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Golf Talk is next.